This is Jane and Judy.
Yeah.
Both together. We've been listening to each other talking so far. Did you meet each other at Greenham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I must have met you going round to Orange Gate. I don't think I remember you in the summer when I went. 83. July 83, I think I didn't meet you. But soon after that, I did.
I can't really... I can remember seeing you over the other side of the fire and people saying, "Hello, James." They obviously knew you already.
Okay. Wow. And I think you had set up Orange Gate, hadn't you? And I went to join.
Okay.
Orange Gate. So I remember you being there. And she'd been very creative. I remember just making up songs, you and Annie, making up songs a lot.
What was the character of Orange Gate that was... Because they all had a bit of a different vibe to them.
Well, it was the furthest one away from everywhere, so people made up anything about Orange Gate. I got told we were, "Oh, you're the musical gate. Oh, you're the..." Whatever, I can't remember. Quite a lot of different things people used to say about Orange Gate, but...
I think it was quite musicy.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
There was a lot of space there, wasn't there, to mess about in.
Yeah.
I can remember there, like in Rabbit Meadow, there was often things, nice things happening.
Yeah.
And you could go for a really nice walk backwards into the woods,
right, into the woods,
you?
Yeah.
Which you couldn't really do in, well, I suppose at Green you could.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely couldn't places like Indigo, could you?
Not unless you did a sort of fence marked against your head.
Yeah. Although sometimes it was sort of... sometimes the woods were a bit scary, weren't they? You know, there were sometimes vigilantes in the woods, so... I don't know. Mostly there wasn't. I just remember...
stuff in the water there that was all kind of orangey, I remember.
Oh, yeah, on the way round towards yellow. Yeah.
But you used to go off and go... swimming in places.
Oh yeah,
stuff,
I did quite a lot
you?
Of swimming, yeah. In fact, I did find a picture, I'll show you in a minute. Shall I get it now? I don't know if this can go into an archive, it's a bit rude. I had another look while you were talking to Judy, and I found these. They're not all the photos, but there is one. So this is...
Where's that then?
Thatcham Canal.
Oh, right.
So there were people dog walking.
That's a very good photo.
There were people dog walking by us, but...
This is a photograph of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I think. Greenham women.
Yeah, note the bands on the wrist
clad.
And ankle.
In the Niff, having a splashing their feet in the canal.
Yeah, well, we'd all just been in, I think. It was
having a swim.
Yeah.
It's a great photograph. And that was by a woman called Issa.
Issia.
From Issia. Italy.
Italian.
That's a lovely photo.
Yeah.
And there was the locals walking past.
Horrified by green.
By nymphs. And maidens.
They didn't really care. But there were a few good swimming spots. There was the ford down by Orange Gate. Used to go there, but then I did land on a metal pole and ended up on crutches. Actually, that was an experience, because went to Reading Hospital to get it stitched up, and they were fine, they were lovely, but they was in a wheelchair to the door, and then they said they couldn't give me crutches because they didn't believe I would bring them back because I was from Greenham. So they left me. Luckily, being from Greenham, like, there were about six women with me and Anne's pink car, and they carried me to the car, and then Anne made me some crutches out of... I looked like something out of Charles Dickens. They're the most uncomfortable crutches ever, but...
the bits of blanket.
But I couldn't walk otherwise. I mean, God, I couldn't... I wasn't allowed to wait there. And they left... the hospital wouldn't give me anything. God, I hope they don't do that with homeless
people.
That's
probably illegal.
Probably was. I remember
probably
people...
There were a lot of things like that where you could have actually just done somebody for something,
but
you just couldn't be arsed with it. And
yeah. It's ridiculous, isn't
really
it? That is completely
bad,
terrible.
Really bad.
Yeah, I remember going up to London to sign on, because we signed on, and on these crutches. And that was that was interesting, actually, because people were saying, "Hello, dear, do you got crutches? I've not got hearing impairment." She made me open my eyes a little bit.
It was.
And I had a couple of other incidents that happened that put me in that position, so it made me think about the way people with disabilities are treated.
So there's a lot of things like the way benefits worked in those days, squatting, you know, that made Greenham possible.
Yeah.
Although it's very hard to imagine.
Yeah, no, I just found there were so many unemployed people in Brixton, you only had to sign on once every 3 months, so I went and signed on in Brixton, I signed on initially Islington, because that was once a month. But postal signing. I mean, I remember going up to the north of Scotland, phoning the job centre and saying, "I'm looking for work." And they accepted it. Couldn't now.
No, you bloody couldn't.
Hitchhiked. Again, that's another contact. You know, friendships with people all over the place.
Yeah, that's
lovely
experiences.
Completely
different now, isn't it?
Yeah.
That means something completely different. I'd be really scared if our four kids wanted to hitchhike now.
Yeah. I mean, I remember hitching on my own, and I was in some guy in a very fancy car, picked me up, and he was a bit creepy. And then I think he either didn't like what I was saying about where I'd come from, didn't like Greenham, or he thought the better of whatever bad thing he was thinking of, and he just said, "Right, get out." And I was on a motorway junction. There was nowhere I was allowed to stop, so police picked me up, and they were all right. Took me somewhere I could hitch safely. But mostly, didn't have any problems hitchhiking.
But I think there were so many women and people generally did it, that it was just...
Yeah, yeah, much more possible then than it is now, yeah.
So how did you just leave around the same kind of time, or were you...
Well, we did talk about that the other day, but I kind of went to Wales to the miners' strike and then went to London. You did kind of leave at the same issue.
Yeah,
but
I think
you were better at keeping in contact, I think.
Yeah, so I went up, I got a place to do carpentry in London, one of those tops courses that don't exist anymore. And but it was due to start, I think it's beginning of October or something. So I was going to... So the 10 million women for 10 days thing was happening, and it was a bit unbearable. I had had enough, I think, of that side of things. And I realised that I was getting a bit jaded when I was making up stupid songs about diarrhoea and hiding in the bushes when visitors came and things like that, which I hadn't before. So when the 10 million women thing happened, I stayed for a couple of days and then went to Broadie, because I just couldn't cope with it. Well, there wasn't anywhere near 10 million women, thank goodness, but there was vast numbers. There were thousands and thousands of women, and it worked incredibly well, and it was a great, you know, it wasn't bad, apart from it was a starting point for King's Cross Women's Centre, splitting the camp, and, you know, amazingly that they did it, because nothing else had worked. And they only split it. They didn't destroy it, whereas everything else that, like Wages Past Work or whatever have done, they've destroyed. Somebody did some research about 50 black women's groups or lesbian groups that had been destroyed by them. Anyway, but they did split the camp. So I'm drifting off.
What?
So I left anyway. So I left. I lived in a squat in London, but I went back to Greenham just about every weekend for about another year or so. And it carried on doing actions, like we went down to South Wales to work out what they were doing with microwave radiation, and
I suppose there was a kind of loose group of women that was quite big, wasn't there, in London, that knew people who knew people, and there were a load of us in Bonington Square. And then what was that place where you and Sally and Fiona and Gail...
Oh, yeah, in Kennington. We were in Kennington. And before that was in...
You mean, were you at Rebecca's?
No, but in... Not just up from Camden, was it called?
Kentish Town.
Thank you.
Squat there.
So it was all women. Like, we were still connected with most of the women that I was meeting. Well, they weren't all, but a lot connected to Greenham in some way.
There were quite a lot of political actions where you kind of easily slid into that thing where you did it, like Stop the City and stuff.
Yeah.
We kind of went together to things.
And they were trying to keep open the South London Women's Hospital. So I was I was staying over the night there. We were sleeping in there to try and keep it open and then going to my joinery course the other side of town.
And did you get just as, you know, like the frequently asked questions, you know, get just as kind of like bored of having to answer the same questions when you were at Greenham? Would have been handy to have had a worksheet.
Well, I think it was kind of a sign of the general exhaustion, really. I mean, I think it just was. I don't think I could do it. Because you're young, you could kind of cope with it. That thing of not really. You know, just having to be doing the same thing with the evictions and not really getting a lot of sleep necessarily because cars would go past in the middle of the night and all that. And I don't think I recognised how knackered I was with it all.
Mm.
And then the getting fed up with visitors is just a kind of symptom, isn't it? Because visitors is what you need.
Yeah.
The whole thing needed more women to make it work, but by that point probably you weren't even particularly welcoming when women came.
But that, I think I noticed that in myself. It made me think I need a break, at least I need to go away and other women need to be doing this because I can't do it as well anymore.
And there's kind of weird thing about who had been there longest and stuff like that, which wasn't particularly useful. It would be better if there was more of a kind of throughput, I think. Mm. But there wasn't.
What do you mean? Like, what you mean? Visitors were asked who'd been there longest.
Yeah, and wanted to know that kind of stuff.
The kind of celebrity type, almost.
Yeah.
But it didn't work terribly well, did it? There weren't very many women who played to that, I don't think.
No, I don't think. I don't
like think... Who's your leader? Who's your spokesperson? Things. You are someone.
No, I don't think there were, but I think it would kind of sometimes felt like, in spite of yourself, that would happen.
Yeah.
Because you knew where stuff was.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it had been erected.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing, or what needed to happen.
And how many women actually from Wages for Housework moved in?
I mean, how... Well, they took over Yellowgate, basically. So Wages for Housework took over Yellowgate, and the women, many of the women who'd been there a long time and I think had been there too long, got very jaded.
Yeah.
Joined them. You know, so that was the, I shouldn't say, you know, they had an analysis about race and gender and class and sexuality that made a lot of sense, but it was all about guilt tripping and power and control rather than making anything better. I don't know how many were there. 20? I don't know how many were at Yellowgate. They had. It became quite difficult at the other gates because we still needed to go to get the water. The post still went there, so we had to, ended up having two different postal addresses. the Yellow Gate tried to hide the standpipe. You know, it became all this ridiculous thing about that they would try and control the resources. And I remember witnessing, being shocked, because I was going back at weekends and seeing this, women from the main gate driving round and shouting abuse at the Yellow Gate. And you think, what's this? This is like this is like Rage. What was the Residents Against Rage. The Green? There was an organisation called Rage in Newbury called Residents Against the Greenham Encampment, Rage. Yeah. And there were some quite nasty cartoons in the local press, I seem to remember, about Greenham women. But so we'd get all of that from them, and then there'd be Greenham women driving round and shouting abuse.
Oh, God.
It was absolutely unbelievable.
I wasn't there then, and I don't even know.
Laughably. You know, you couldn't get down about it. You could get down about it, but it was like... farcical, you know. So they did manage to, and it's hard not to think it was a deliberate ploy on behalf of somebody or other to try and disrupt various radical groups, including Greenham. And to an extent, it was successful to an extent, and some very good women, I think, got a bit brainwashed, you know. But that's not their perspective, presumably. So I did try, you know, some good friends, some couple of women from Orangegate that I really liked, and I remember going to meetings with them because they wanted me to go, and listening and thinking about it. But because I was like, that's fine, yeah, go for it, but I also think this and I'm going to do that, because I was a bit too multifaceted in that.
Which
approach.
Is where the whole thing had worked up till then, was...
So when they realised I wasn't going to join them, they stopped talking to me. So
I know it was all pre-internet, but it's quite interesting if you Google Wilmette, there is not one photograph. There's very little presence of any sort.
No.
Which kind of, if you want to do the conspiracy theories, gets even more.
I know.
But
we just think you can't... worry, but you know, there was always the possibility that there were people infiltrating from anywhere in what we were doing, and you just have to take responsibility for yourself and do what you think's right and not worry. If they want to get involved with an action, then fair enough.
I think that was a thing that was very powerful about it, because it wasn't possible for, I mean, presumably there were police women who came and sat in on meetings, but
what would they get out of it?
Because all they go away is thinking, oh God, well, what the hell did they decide there?
And you were just as likely to spontaneously decide that it would be a good idea to go in through Violet tonight and see what was happening at the site, you know, whatever. You know, just do whatever came to mind at the time. You couldn't sort of control it in that way. So I think it did have quite a negative effect, though.
What, the basis for housework?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, that was already happening before I went. Mm. Like, that thing of... those very intense meetings where it was all about whether you had the politics right or wrong.
Well, very shaming as well. It was suddenly a totally different sort of meeting that they... It wasn't a kind of, you know, discuss, argue, put your point of view, but we're all equal. It was...
this is the correct...
like, this is the right way, and you can't speak because you're this, that or the other.
It's like the shadow version of Greenham, isn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, then you just... I joined in one of those meetings, thought, I don't like this, and walked away. Yeah. You know, I mean, you can't... it's not even in a room, is it? So you can't... there's no doorway. They can't really control you unless you choose to go with it. Yeah. But there were some women who, you know... you know, Katrina may still be at Greenham, for all I know. Because there's a traveller gave some land to Greenham, between Greengate and Yellow. And the last time I went, which must have been, well, it was probably 15 years after I left Greenham, she was there in a bender on this land, but didn't see her.
So some land that was owned by a traveller was given to the Greenham camp and presumably still belongs to the Greenham camp.
Yeah, and for all I know, there's a couple of women still there. But
I like the idea that the undercover policewoman would leave going, I don't know what happened. Like, I was there for the full 4 hours, but I don't know what the final conclusion was.
Yeah.
And we didn't do things by meet. I mean, I know there was a meet. There was a meeting at least once a week, wasn't there? But it wasn't like that was the main driver, actually.
No.
It wasn't like an organisation where you have to go to the meeting to make the decision to make it happen. It was like, it was mainly about money, wasn't it? I think those meetings, was it? Or, no, I can't even remember.
There did seem to be a very long money meetings. Wasn't there a money meeting and then there were random other meetings?
Yeah, probably.
Something like that.
Whilst not deciding what was going to happen at those meetings, yeah. It did rebond you, even if to the point of, like, yeah. I still can't stand
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
But it was still a yeah. way that you all got yeah. together and...
Yeah, and you also found out what other people were doing, because you didn't read about it in the paper or anything. So someone might have done some really great thing and you didn't know anything about it, did you, until...
No.
People might say, oh...
Yeah.
You know, it was partly the social thing, wasn't it, of...
Yeah, and how people would share ideas and do.
Yeah,
yeah. I want to do that. Anyone want to come to Wales? Or there's this, somebody's offered. Somebody really wants us to go and speak at this thing or that thing, or go to Iceland or go to France. Or
where did you go then? Where did you go on those visits? Did you go to Iceland?
I didn't. I wanted to, but I wasn't assertive enough to go to Iceland. I went to Paris because nobody else wanted to go, basically. I think I got the phone call, and so the Young Communist Congress of France got me, and they produced these enormous posters with my name on.
Bizarre. Were you like the main speaker?
No, well, I don't know. There were lots of speakers. It was actually very interesting because... was meeting people from all over the world. So I only found out about things like the New Deal movement in Grenada and what had been happening with the United States there through going to that. I wouldn't have found out about that otherwise. There were people from all over the world there. But I do remember getting a standing ovation. It was really bizarre, really bizarre. I think, you know, if I'd just not said anything, it would have been perfect. But then I do, because I remember this, solidarité, everybody, 2,000 people.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic. But then when I had a workshop with a few hundred people in it, can't do a workshop with a few hundred people, and I said, oh, no, I did French at school, I'll do it, I don't need a translator.
And, to what extent do you think going to Sweden created unrealistic ambitions among women?
Oh, God. I probably did, really. But anyway, they weren't very happy with what I said because, on the one hand, I was against the American nuclear presence, but I was just as equally against the Russian nuclear presence. And I had quite a few questions about, but how could that be? Surely they're just defending. Anyway. But it was interesting. You know, it was an interesting experience.
Did you get to do any of those kind of...
I never went on any foreign things. I did some talks, like, roundabout. But it's like, as Jane said, I mean, really, you could have just said anything and people would have just gone, yeah! Because, you know, it just was like flavour of the moment, really. CND yeah. meetings and things, they were like big in those days. Like,
yeah,
you know, you could
and there were 50 women for peace
people easily.
Groups and things as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've just been having a bit of a chat about what the Greenham legacy is. What do we think is...
It's very difficult to know that kind of thing, isn't it? Because there's... Some movements are of their time, and then threads come from that and from other things, and then things fade out and come in again. I was talking to Afra about Me Too the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Because when that first started, I was thinking, what? That's totally fucking obvious, isn't it? You know, yeah. Why? What is? Why is that?
Why is
anything?
It such a big deal? Yeah. But I mean, I not why is it? And why is
no?
Yeah,
yeah. But actually, I think it has been a real thing for loads of young women, and it's that re-finding out, isn't it? Where you kind of didn't realise that that wasn't.
It's not acceptable to be treated like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but that somehow that had been forgotten. Well, yeah. Was there a point when most people thought that and then it was forgotten? I don't know whether I've got a warped idea about feminism and how far
because
of where I was.
I also think that with the best will in the world, the older women, however older they are, getting on doing what they're doing, and they somehow think that by osmosis or telepathy or something, the things that they learned have been passed on to the next lot. And we're learning maybe that we have a job to do because actually they didn't get passed on. And then I wonder if the younger ones go, well, you must think it's okay, else you'd have done something about it.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's a bit of a... Because there aren't organisations there isn't a party that you join and you pass this information.
There's always that I suppose the pressure from this. I haven't even used the word patriarchy for years, but from that you're all right now. You know, you don't need to do anything now. It's all right. You've actually, you know, you've got equality now. There. Go back into your houses or whatever. Go back and do the dishes because you've got it all now.
Well, go out and have a great career as a
whatever,
making pornography.
Yeah.
You know, because that's all okay now because we've done feminism and so this is.
So there's always
so
that
everything
constant
is okay
pressure
now.
Coming back the other way to sweep women's power away. I think, and I was saying when you weren't in the room that. I remember feminism becoming like a dirty word, that it was hard to say you were feminist. Whereas it feels like it's come back into use again now.
Quite recently.
Mm.
Well, yeah, it does seem like there's more of an awareness of gender politics than there has been for a while. But I don't really know. I mean, in terms of the legacy of Greenham, I don't know how that relates to that. I suppose I think that there's... I don't know. I mean, for me, I think I've sort of thought from that, that can be a... For me, that can be a really positive thing to work with a group of women that I've done in loads of different places in my life.
Yeah.
And I... But then that also was women's movement stuff, wasn't it?
Mm.
Happening at the same time.
Yeah, or before.
Before.
Greenham, yeah.
Yeah. All those consciousness-raising groups. Greenham kind of came out of that in one way.
And was a massive consciousness raising group.
Yeah. Oh, constantly, yeah.
But not about everything.
No. I mean, you're saying not about everything, I suppose.
I was going to say, but not just about sexual politics, about consciousness raising, about how everything interconnected, really.
Yeah, it was. I think it's interesting you said that, because I used to have this thing that I was too young for the consciousness. I used to feel really pissed off that I'd missed all of that, but actually I probably didn't. I just had it very, very intensely around the fire, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading, you know, the sort of feminist, early feminist stuff like that, because I was just a child when all that was going on. Yeah.
I think maybe there's some sort of stuff that is maybe more known in whatever lefty community or something about humour and creativity.
Yes.
Blatantly being a useful tool.
Yes.
I mean, I don't really know, because I wasn't involved in that loads of stuff beforehand, but it feels to me like that's true.
It's very different from the kind of, because I was a shop steward a few times, and it's very different from that sort of movement towards change, because it was very creative and you couldn't kind of clamp down on it or fix it or anything. There was always somebody having another idea to look at things in another way, or get people to look at things in another way, or just to get attention, really.
Very irreverent.
Irreverent, funny, creative, using community and connection, and not, you know, not one person standing out there being a hero or anything. Yeah, you're right. I think that is something that I would take on now in things that I'm doing, that you could do something quite creative and make a change.
Somebody else has talked about like anti-fracking and just any of the environmental protests that involve, I mean, people used to sit in buildings, but they didn't used to kind of, you know, take over a tree or that seems to be, you know, they seem to think that's part of.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that some of that was going on, not fracking, but I do remember there were being various bypass protests at the same time as Greenham with people in trees. But it always seemed to be that when there were men involved in the protests, there was a lot more violence, and I don't know. At the time, I thought it was because the male protesters couldn't keep it together to act in a non-violent way, but it may just be that clash of men and how the police responded to men. Don't know. Mixture of both, probably.
If you were to just have a little image of Greenham, a moment, do you have something that sums it up for you? Like your time there, or just.
It's not very political. It's probably sitting around a fire, just talking and drinking and eating and singing. But I mean, I can do that anywhere. I don't know why that's Greenham.
Tuesday.
Fence. The fence in the background. A lot of sitting linked armed in front of a gate. It was a bit of it as well.
There isn't a lot of other times in my life when I can think when I'd just have the leisure to sit and talk for all day if it happened to be the conversation carried on. I can't think of any other times really.
And what about
feeling
those?
Very free. Well, constrained.
And just thinking, just that thing of thinking, well, what are they going to do? There's nothing they can actually, they can't make you think differently.
As the song says. They can't forbid really everything. They can't forbid you to. Sorry.
So what about the singing then?
I don't know. Do you want some recording? We can
it's
record some singing if you want.
Go on.
Well, what do you want to do then? You want one of your mistress pieces?
There is a whole sheaf of lyrics here, various sorts. There's a cat joining in by sliding about on the photograph.
So that's one of the song sheets from some demonstration. I don't actually know.
Oh, that's very nice. Who did that?
I don't know.
Yeah, this is pre-clip art design, isn't it?
yeah, absolutely.
When everything was hand-drawn.
We used to do a newsletter that we hand-drew and hand-wrote and then sent out in the post. And I was,
no.
I would
post.
So much
remember
like
the post.
To read one of those and see what it was like. Because it used to be a real labour of love doing that.
Silver Moon wrote this one, which is The Dragon Cries Her Tears in the Night, and I loved it, but I can't remember the tune.
I don't think I know that one.
My sister gets people singing as her job.
Oh, does
That's
she?
The legacy of Greenham, and I would love to have those lyrics to give to her.
Well, there's a bit of paper from South London Women's Hospital. Nicked. Sorry, I'm just trying to
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, snip. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, snip. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, snip. We're going to snip around the base tonight.
I'm trying to... I'm going to be using this after McBride one.
No. That's not really a good one,
though. No,
it's that one had a sort of harmony to it, that we don't want your laws, we don't like your cause, we won't fight your wars, chop down Greenham. And there was some kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, I can't remember. There's some things...
I'll just read these out while you're looking. Down at Greenham on a spree, financed by the KGB.
Oh, yeah, that's quite good, that one. Down at Greenham on a spree, financed by the KGB. Dirty women squatters in the mud. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Mostly vegetarian. When we're not devouring men. Foreigners and other forms of scum. In the bushes were...
A pack of...
Well, we haven't got that
with
bit.
Karl copies of Karl Marx in plastic bags. Probably got that.
Mr. Andropov supplies us with our whisker. Mr. Castro makes sure we're kept in dough. Wish he would. Most of us are outside agitators. Who can't see Ronald Reagan brings us hope. Brings us hope.
There's Shameless Hussies, but that's not a Greenham song, really. That's quite a good one.
This collection was got together by the Hackney Greenham Drummers Affinity Group.
Isn't that lovely?
As opposed to the Hackney Greenham Double Bass Affinity.
As a contribution to Sound Around the Bass, December 11th, 1983.
Sound Around the Bass.
Sound Around the Bass.
Please make copies and give them to others. Printed by Calvert's North Star Press. Oh, it's a different world.
This is a song about the bent ladies. Hope says we're safe from the bent ladies.
That's Rebecca's, isn't
That's
it?
Rebecca's song.
Back together, ladies, we're
content.
Every breath you take.
We're shameless hussies. We don't give it on the left.
And alive to be free.
Main callers names to be nasty and rude like lesbian money to which prostitute. What a laugh, because half of it's true.
The minute you came to the base, da-da, I could see you were the men of destruction. We'll be defenders.
I'm just trying to find some of the uniquely Orange Gate songs that I remember. Oh yeah, that's the epic from Body Peace Camp. I'm not seeing that. there's an Annie Knitting and Picketing.
Oh yes, I bought one of those that's spare that you could take if you want.
So that is one of yours. The PC said to me as he poured water on my tea. This land is MOD, kept primarily for crews and military. When you joined the force, was it to run through course? 12 men in a van with a watering can, was that how you began?
The PC replied as he kicked the logs aside. First some doubts arise, but you hear so many lies. Smoke gets in your eyes.
That's quite nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you wrote that one. Sister, yeah. Like that. Lily of the Art Lights, I really like that one.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Underneath the arc lights, by the old green gate, I took out my bolt cutters, my hands could hardly wait. I snipped towards her, she snipped to me, we both could see the common free. Oh, Lily of the arc lights, a snipping in the rain. As we crawled into the base,
we held our cutters tight,
wondering if the USA would shoot at us on sight. I sneaked along with her, she sneaked with me, we both could see the common free. Oh, Lily of the arc lights, will this all be in vain? Closer to the missile silos, my heart began to quiver. Was it Lily, the fear, the base, or just a little shiver? I looked towards her, she looked to me, we both could see the common free. Oh, Lily of the arc lights, it wasn't Jenny or Leslie or Katrina or Sabina or any of the others, even Jane. Cutting up the silo fence, my knees began to turn to jelly, but standing strongly next to me was Lily in her wellies. I snipped towards her, she snipped to me, we both could see the common free. Oh, Lily of the arc lights, we have everything to gain. Running up the missile silos, planting lots of trees, should I have given my heart away or kept it in deep freeze? Stay pure, cold and sound ideologically. Oh, we could be completely silly. Oh, Lily of the arc lights, is this true romance or pain? When we got to Newbury Nick, we shared a little cell. We wrote on walls, sang lots of songs, drove all the men to hell. I'd snip towards her, she'd snip to me, we both could see the common free. Oh, Lily of the arc lights, will I see you again? Anyway.
Does it carry on?
No, that's
it's fantastic.
There was a very good acoustic in those cells in Newbury.
Wasn't it?
Remember one time when me and Eleanor and Sue Popper were there, and Eleanor was singing, it was about what we were going to have to drink when we got out, and Eleanor was singing, Sue was going, a pint of lager, and I was going, a glass of Baileys, and Eleanor was singing, and a pint of bitter beer. And it was like we were in separate cells, but we could hear each other. It was like, and it sounded really nice. And then we did go to the pub after.
There was that, yeah, that G-Alligate song, but you've probably got that. What are the bugs that a green woman has? That's a bit.
I don't think I know that one.
What are the bugs that a green woman has at the Peace Camp, Newbury, Berkshire? I'll tell you now of some that I know, and the rest you've probably got them. Herpes, crabs, and biting fleas, diarrhea, up to your knees, stretch, smallpox. Smallpox, malaria, to stop. Ringworms, scabies.
This does come back to me now.
Dysentery and rabies at the Peace Camp, Newbury, Berkshire. What are the names that vigilantes? I can't know.
What are the names that the vigilantes call us at the Peace Camp, Newbury, Berkshire? I'll tell you some of the ones that I know, and those I miss you'll surely pardon. Smelly cunts and dirty hags, doped up lesbians and slags. Communists and traitors to the flag.
Queers and witches and
ducky dirting bitches at the Peace Camp, Newbury, Berkshire.
What are the questions the visitors ask at the Peace Camp, Newbury? I'll tell you some of the ones that I know, and those I miss you'll probably ask them. Are there many of you here? Is it cold and are you queer? Where do you get your water from? Where do you get your water from? Will you die for the cause? Do you shit in the gorse at the peace camp, Newbury Berkshire? What are the things you hear the women say at the peace camp, Newbury Berkshire? I'll tell you now of if done some that I know, and those I miss are confidential. I can't stand the bloody smoke. Pass the joint, I want a tote. What's that in the bushes? Could it be a bloke? There's a turd in the road. A policeman's dropped his load at the peace camp, Newbury Berkshire. And then there was a granny's action, and they added another verse on that. It's all of, it's just like what you do is humour to get you through, basically.
Through the night.
Yeah. What do you, anyway?
Anyway,
go on.
Hilarious.
It gets a bit worse. That's another of yours. Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Is it? I don't even remember that. Oh, look, you could have that one if you want.
Thank you. Because, I'm absolutely sure they're going to want to record you doing these and more of them properly.
Raindrops keep falling on my head. That's because the bailiff's got my bender and my bed. I'd like a cup of tea, but we've put the water in the car that's gone to Newbury. Oh, how silly. But Liz's bender is my vial. It's got all the poles and I'll be building in a while. Evictions come and go, but all that seems to happen is this peace camp just grows and grows. Everybody.
I was being a bit hopeful there. Yeah.
Andy's version. This woman, woman tiger, woman tiger, help to save the world.
Oh, know? Yeah. When it went, woman toilet, woman bat, what the hell do you think you're at? Peanut brain, woolly hat, go back to Russia. Go back to Russia, nearer Russia and far away. Go back to Russia.
It's deteriorating, this interview, isn't it?
That was the end.
That was the end. Right, okay.
Oh, God.
No, because that is that in Carrie Greenham Home, that song? I can't remember. That is Carrie Greenham Home, isn't it? That's the song. Woman.
Yes, it is. And she just said some of the things
the
that people had shouted at us.
Instead of.
Yeah.
What we'd like them to be saying.
People did say go back to Russia quite a lot,
they did.
Didn't they? It was quite funny. I don't think it was anyone who had any connection whatsoever with Russia, but it was about every
apart
other
from the Spetsnaz
thing.
Training. Spetsnaz.
Yeah. Anyway.
So many. So that's time. I think it's about time.
Yeah, you're allowed to go. You know what? She said she'd had a really long interview before it was 2 hours.